This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Today, I am deeply privileged and feel very excited to have Louise Van Tongeroen with me today, who's a play advocate for the Christchurch City Council, which is unusual but super cool, and we're going to tell you why.
Thanks for joining us for Being Real Parents with me, Anna, and my colleague and buddy,
Kate. We work in the parenting space.
And it's here where we'll talk about our worlds as parents, the good, the not so good, and the hilarious, and mix this with what we know about behaviour and psychology.
Thank you so much for being here with me.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, so cool. So tell me about, well, let's start with you. Tell me about you. You're a play advocate. Mm-hmm. Where's this all come from?
Well, really, I've worked with children and with whānau for 20 years, I think now, in different ways.
Yeah.
And play has always been the thing, I think it's been the thing that's really sparked me. It's the thing that I feel really passionately about. Yeah. And I've seen in my own children that it's the thing that's been just so crucial for how they've grown up. So I have three boys. They are 7 and 10 and, and 13. I got that right.
I love how you started from youngest. You normally we go down, but you went up.
Yeah. It's because I'm in denial about having a teenager.
I see, yeah. And you and I first met because you were heavily involved in kind of play at that time. You'd begun a website around, you know, and I just remember great playgrounds around Christchurch. And you and I were working across some support for parents post-quake,
Yeah, I think I had my first son 2 weeks after the February earthquake.
Right.
And it's a really, I think it was such an interesting time to become a parent, particularly because I was already working in with families.
Oh,
and
yeah.
In my professional life, I was learning all about child anxiety and what we need to do to raise healthy, happy children. And then all of a sudden, it's like, there you go, test it.
Take that.
Yeah. So I kind of recognised quite early on that the kind of support I needed was probably something that other families needed too.
Yeah, cool. Okay, cool. So deep passion, lots of experience in this field. And why is the Christchurch City Council so invested in play?
There's a real movement towards understanding and protecting play across Aotearoa. And we're really lucky that we're supported by Sport New Zealand.
Yeah.
So Sport New Zealand supports my role.
Yeah.
And they don't just look after, you know, our professional rugby teams in New Zealand. They actually cover the full spectrum of physical activity. So, I mean, right from high-performance sport through our community teams, like the hockey and the soccer you might be part of, active recreation, right down to the other end of the spectrum, which is play.
Yeah.
And there's a whole play work stream within Sport New Zealand.
Yeah.
And as part of that, they're supporting lots of our councils to have a play advocate. And really the point is, we know play is in decline across New Zealand. There's some really quite alarming statistics around it. And we also know that councils have not the whole picture, but they have a role to play in protecting play and making sure that our neighbourhoods and our cities are really well set up for children.
Yeah. That's so cool that this is, you know, an investment of Sport New Zealand. I'm always impressed. It's where I find their mahi in terms of the good stuff, and I talk about the good stuff and as an investment in one tamariki, certainly play, and then kind of like just it feels like enjoyment of life.
Yeah.
Am I right?
No, that I think that is right, and also the kind of play that, that they've invested in, because there's a huge spectrum of play
as well, and
some of it's really easy to understand. And I think there's a growing understanding around play-based learning and purposeful play. And this is more about right down the other end of the spectrum, which is what about the kind of play where there's this huge body of evidence that tells us that children benefit from. So it's child-led, it's adult-free largely, it's around children having independence and making choices and navigating and learning about the world from their own choices. And so it's really meaningful. And so the fact that Sport New Zealand and our council are actually getting in behind that kind of play, I think is really cool.
Yeah, me too. Mm. So are we talking about play that is spontaneous?
Yes.
And occurs in the natural environments that, exist around us, but also are sometimes set up by the council as well?
Yeah, it's looking at how do we make sure that we are setting ourselves up for success?
Yeah.
So things have changed a lot in our cities in the last, few decades, but even in the last few years, things have changed. And I think the world that our parents perhaps grew up in, where they just could go out in the street and play, and it was kind of normal to come home and the streetlights turned on and go to the local park and kick a ball and meet up with all your neighbours down the street and roam in, little gangs of children, I think that's not really possible anymore. And actually, we know that it's like 85% of New Zealand children don't do that with their friends or by themselves.
Got it. Can't wait to talk more about this.
You're listening to Being Real Parents with Kate and Anna on Plains FM 96.9.
So the driver behind this was research and then recognition that our worlds have changed, and so that has meant that our children don't have as many opportunities to play as they might once have had. What are we doing? What can we do? Because now I'm starting to freak out.
Well, there's lots of things we can do.
Good.
But I think it's really interesting because there's things we can do at home, and then there's things that we can do when we're part of a community in a neighbourhood, and then there's things certainly that organisations and government and local councils can do. Yeah. I think the most important thing we all need to do is just notice, and we need to stop taking it for granted. We need to be really deliberate in that we are, as parents, we're thinking about play as a priority. It's something that we value and we expect our children to do. And as councils, we need to look at everything we're designing, everywhere we're involved, and make sure that we're putting that childhood lens over it. What I'm seeing is that often it's not a huge tweak or a huge change that we need to make. But when we make something that works for children, it usually works for everyone.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Mm. Yeah, that's really interesting. I know that there's that gorgeous quote from either Freud or Erikson. I can never remember whom. And they talk about a child as well. We know a child as well when they can laugh, be curious, love, and play.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, me too.
It's funny because we talk about well neighbourhoods as well.
Yeah.
And how often children, you can sort of almost see them as an indicator species. You can go through certain neighbourhoods and there are kids everywhere. And it feels like a great place to grow up.
Yeah.
And we do have a situation in Aotearoa where some neighbourhoods are really safe and playing out is easy.
Yeah.
The school's really close by. Yeah. There's great natural or green spaces. There's slower streets. There's a good sense of community.
Yeah.
And you do see in those neighbourhoods that children have this opportunity to be free, to scoot around the block, to go down and get an ice block at the local dairy, to meet up with friends, and they reap the benefits of that.
Yeah.
And then we have other communities where play is really difficult.
Yeah.
And I just think, New Zealand signed the United Nations Conventions on the Rights of the Child, and Article 31 is about the child's right to play.
Mm.
And it's really easy to say that, and it's really easy to believe it.
Yeah.
But actually, what does that look like in the real world?
Yeah.
Because if, the majority of our tamariki are growing up in spaces where cars zoom past their houses, and it is literally not safe to leave their front gate. And perhaps at the same time, housing is intensifying around them and backyards are getting smaller. The school is not safe to access because they've got to cross numerous roads. We're not really setting them up to be able to access the kind of play that we know has the most benefit, which is when they get to go and be kids and they actually get to do it on their own.
Yeah. Is there something about us in that, though, as parents, being more wary than we maybe need to be? I'm not sure.
I think there is.
Yeah.
I think it's, I mean, I don't like to ever blame parents.
No,
I
neither.
Think
we do the best we can.
We do, and that's exactly right. And we bear the brunt of so much of this.
I know.
I think that is why it's also really cool that councils are picking up play advocates, because it is saying, we have a role to play in this too. But there is a piece of the puzzle where, you know, certainly the messages that I've had as a parent for the last 13 years have been around stranger danger, keep your children tucked in your front door, keep them, you know, they need all of these educational opportunities and programs and activities, and you're really a good mum if you sit and do crafting with your children for an hour and a half every day and different activities. And I think somewhere along the line...
I missed that memo.
I ignored it, luckily. But I think somewhere along the line, we've sort of lost the point, which is all species play.
Yeah.
Children play... We know children play in war zones. It is such a foundational part of childhood. And I think part of being a parent now probably involves taking a really good look at how we are allowing our children time to play. They talk about three conditions of play. There's time and space and permission. And from a parent point of view, that permission piece can be really hard. But we can take baby steps. For me, it was about baby steps. I didn't let my, you know, my 7-year-old is not allowed to go down by himself and play at the school. But he's allowed to go with his brothers. And if I'm really busy and I'm, you know, I'm working from home and I'm having, say, a more anxious week than another week, I make him take a walkie-talkie. And we've built up to this point where I let my kids have a certain amount of freedom by, we know all of our neighbours. You don't have to be friends with them all, but I think it really helps when you say hi to them and you model that to your children so that they kind of know that there are actually a number of safe people on their street who they can go to. We've spent lots of time in our neighbourhood. They know the safe places to cross because they've crossed them with me 100, 200 times. They know where their friends are. They know when to come home. They know how to contact me. Yeah, we've just slowly, slowly added little bits each time. And certainly the freedoms my 13-year-old has now are not what my 7 or my 10-year-old have. But, I think it is possible to just allow yourself and your whānau time to work towards maybe a slightly, maybe just expanding their freedoms a little bit.
Yeah, it's not unlike the scaffolding that we'd put around our children in terms of the online world. And, you know, because, you know, we are under the misconception that that's safe sometimes. But Digital Waitaha came to speak and it was really interesting about kind of like our children are going to come up against things that are challenging for them, and so they need to have some kind of basic idea as to what to do, you know, what's going to keep them safe. And it's exactly the same.
Yeah, it is.
In terms of the external world as well.
And I think it's about, you know, we need to get real about risk.
Yeah.
I think we, as parents, we are really good at seeing all the risks. I have seen them all. And we're really good at assessing them. And I think the next point is to maybe not jump on all of them as a bad thing, because children need exposure to that risk at an early age to learn to navigate it, to learn to negotiate these things. And whether it's the way they move their body up a tree or the way they negotiate working things out with children down the road who don't necessarily want to play with them that day. I think, you know, it's so easy to think about the imagined risks. But actually, we know that play is one of the best protectors against, say, teenage mental health problems. And that's a real risk. That's something that we should be thinking about and we should be preparing for. And so maybe it is worth giving them a little bit more independence, because the risk of the man in the van is probably less than the risk of your child developing anxiety as a teenager.
Yeah, that's so interesting. just because the other thing I noticed about play too post-quakes was how regularly play was used as a way for children to process what they'd been through. I remember once needing to go and pick my daughter up. School had been evacuated. There'd been a real rumble. And I got there and they were all in their Red Cross had given them all those silver blankets.
Oh.
And that I just, it was a magic image for me. Like I was stressed and beside myself and, you know, we were already out of a home and had been for a while and went there and all I could see were these silver blankets and all of the kids were floating in them like butterflies and using them as wings.
That's beautiful.
I know.
Yeah.
And it was just like, they are okay.
Yes.
You know, and they're okay because they've got the magic of each other and the shared experience.
Yes.
And they've got something that supports them to be kind of free in this and process and have some fun again.
Yeah.
And that just like took me to a new level in terms of the magic of play.
There's a really interesting piece of work around people witnessing play.
Yeah.
And I think this is, for me, this is why it's so interesting when I'm working with the council and we're looking at different areas in town or around our neighbourhoods where we want to see more children out playing.
Yeah.
And it's mostly for the children, but actually the benefits for the whole community.
Mm.
And I know, I used to take my children into a rest home when my grandfather was there, and all of the residents would gather around and just watch them play.
Mm.
And one of them would be up a tree, one would be stacking blocks, and the joy on their faces.
Yeah.
And I think I mean, I don't particularly enjoy kicking a ball. I'm not climbing up a tree with my children. Mm. Like, that just sounds like a nightmare to me. But I absolutely love sitting in the sun and watching them.
Yeah.
That brings me so much happiness. And I think that's a, you know, there's benefits of play for children, but it goes way beyond that.
Yeah, that's true, isn't it? I remember when my father-in-law had has a severe stroke and my eldest was maybe two or three at the time, and between them they could bat a balloon.
Oh.
But I know.
Yeah,
that's really bringing cool. back all these beautiful memories.
That's one thing we do encourage people to do, particularly decision makers. I do ask them to think about their favourite play memories.
Mm.
And so I've heard the coolest stories, but so often it's, oh, well, you know, we didn't really see our parents on the weekend. We had a favourite tree and we were building a hut. And if you go to this particular street in Dunedin, you can actually still see the remnants of this on this particular tree. And people tell me about, you know, setting up cricket on their street and roaming with children after school. And there's a real sense of pride with that, and a real understanding of that was the way it should have. That was good for us. We learned we could work things out for ourselves. We could make our own fun. And often that helps to really support people to understand what's missing now and then want to try and change things.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of a, I have a colleague in Auckland who talks about intergenerational inequity. And I think a lot of people in charge of a lot of things grew up in a very different way to now.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't quite maybe always realise, you know, that idea of just seeing your kids out to play, that's actually not something that many people can just do. So it's, it's important to get people thinking about that. And in my experience, it doesn't take long for them to then get on board and want to be a part of the solution.
And we know too that when we want to, you know, care for our own well-being, one of the places that we can go is into those memories of how we played.
Mm-hmm.
And often whatever that was that we were doing or that sense that we were getting, if we can recreate that in our adulthood, we get the same kind of benefits from it as well.
Mm.
So if we were those adventurous tree-climbing little people, it's likely that we still enjoy climbing today.
Yeah, and you see it at the skate park with the dads all the time.
Yeah, that's true, isn't it? That's true. What's the same for mums? Oh, don't.
Should we go there?
What is it?
Connection.
It's connection with others, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is. There's some really interesting research coming out around play for girls and play for particularly female youth.
Yeah.
And a lot of our play spaces are set up for the more boisterous kind of play.
Yeah.
And that doesn't fit everyone.
Yeah.
And I think part of what, certainly part of what we're looking at in my work is how can we have a broader range of play opportunities that do fit a broader range of people so that it's not just the idea of you go to the park and you go to the playground and it's set up for highly active, highly capable children, that actually there are spaces that you can sit and there are spaces that feel enclosed and feel like just a beautiful place to be. And for teenagers, if that means hanging out and talking with your friends, I would argue that that is actually how they play.
Yeah, the swings are an interesting place, aren't they? Swings and anything like forts with heights, like you see, those are the kind of like little corridor spaces, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And I think it's so important that we value that and we don't just see play as this one-dimensional, you're up and down a slide and pushed on a swing and that's it. And it doesn't end when, you know, children go to school, I think. It's so important that youth, you know, my son often meets his friends at a playground and I've asked him and his friends to map out for me, what are the good, what playgrounds do you love and why do you love them? And it's always the funniest things. You know, there's one particular one, they love it because there's a group of rocks in a circle.
Yeah.
Oh, they love that.
Yeah.
And it's cool to kind of collect, and that's a part of my role as well, is engaging with youth and engaging with children to find out actually what is it that you really value and love.
Being under little hidey bushes or harakeke or something like that seems to be interesting too.
Yes,
you have done a beautiful job of letting us know what we can do to support our kids to feel safe in their community and be safe in their community in the home. What would we say?
I think the first thing we can do is set play as the default.
Nice.
So if we're not doing chores, we're not sleeping, we're not helping, doing whatever it is, we're playing. And then within that, you can bring in things like devices and screen time as well. But the default is go make your own fun.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we're very quick to talk about Kiwi ingenuity and this is how we nurture that.
Yeah.
So let them make their own fun. Set yourself up for play.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's you have a bunch of timber and some buckets and balls outside. Even my teenager, so last week we had about 10 soft drink bottles in the recycling that we'd been slowly collecting up. And they ended up making a raft, they made rockets, they were, I mean, they were filling them with water and throwing them at each other too. But they played with them all day and it was just 10 soft drink bottles.
Yeah.
It would have been so easy just to throw them out, but I left them out deliberately just to see, I wonder what you guys will do with these. And they did. So it doesn't have to cost anything. And I think maybe challenging ourselves, every family is different and every context will be different, but challenging ourselves to extend that freedom a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's nice advice. Yeah. That's a really good idea. The default is play. Because the default so often is screen time, especially if we're busy doing the chores or whatever. And
And it's, you know, these things don't happen overnight. If you've got children whose default is something else at the moment, then maybe there's going to be a transition phase where it's not going to happen overnight.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Yeah, that's right. Mm. We don't go to the gym once and get a six-pack, do we?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's a process.
A long one.
I'm still on. I've set Louise up with a challenge where she tells us the top tips today, and she's telling me that these are around what we can do as a part of our city. I'm excited.
Yeah, so top three. The first one is become your own local play champion. Nice. I think there's real value in seeing other families doing the thing that you're maybe not too sure about, and that's happened for me. I remember several times seeing little children going past my house on scooters, and then I realised, oh, they're doing that by themselves. Oh, my child can probably do that. And it hadn't occurred to me that they could go around the block on their scooter. Mm. So just little things, whatever feels appropriate in your own environment, be the person who starts that and says hi to neighbours and makes sure your children know those neighbours as well. But get that ball rolling, because what we see in neighbourhoods where that happens is over time there's a lot more freedom to play.
Beautiful.
The second one is support slower speeds.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think our roads are really, they're busier now than they were when people talk about playing out 50 years ago. And we know that slower speeds helps children get out to play and it helps parents feel less anxious. And it sets the precedent that actually our communities are places where children are growing up. This is their backyard. This is where they're living their whole life. And your need to commute at 50 or 60 kilometres does not trump their need to grow up playing.
Beautiful.
So you can do that.
I'm seeing that, those tweaks, you know, the eeks of people whinging about. Yeah.
Oh, people hate change. But I think we just, if we can support that over time, the message is actually our children matter.
Beautiful.
And where they live matters. Cool. And the last one is, opportunities come up to submit to our councils all the time, and I think people don't always realise how powerful our voices are in those in those submissions. I didn't necessarily realise before I worked at council. So if there is an opportunity to submit, whether it's on a local playground or speeds or any projects that come up in your area, it's actually an opportunity to ask, have children been considered in this? How will this impact our local tamariki? How are we considering accessibility for children? Asking the question, I think, is really important. Yeah. And something that I think, you know, play needs to be part of the conversation. And so any opportunity that we have to make sure it's included in a conversation with elected members is really cool.
Nice. Knowing that children are important. Too.
Yeah, and they need to hear from residents that we actually think this really matters.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you. If you want to get in touch with the Play Advocates, Louise, at Christchurch City Council, you can go straight through the council to do that. And as for us at Real Parents, I've got a few things I need to give a shout out to. We've got a couple of webinars coming up, one on the 6 things our teens need to thrive on the 29th of May. And then another one on learning self-care tips to ensure parent well-being, and that's with me on the 23rd of May. These are both only $18. Head to our Facebook page for details about that, or email us at hello@realparents.org. And for anything else, please don't hesitate to be in touch. We would love that.
Awesome. Thanks for being with us today.
We hope you've learned that while parenting is challenging sometimes, that's totally normal. It's been fun having you with us. Keep being amazing.
Bye!